Hello, welcome to Stand By. How you doing, buddy?
Good. I'm good. I'm very excited for today's guest.
I know, we've got an amazing guest today. We've wanted her on the show for the longest time, and we finally got her. Comedy circuit stalwart, and recently was in a Jackass film you all might have seen. We've got Rachel Wolfson.
Hi, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming in.
I like your MTV hat.
Thanks.
I noticed it.
I thought it would be Jackass appropriate.
Yeah.
And Francisco. Hi.
I didn't. I mean, he bought the whole thing. He went to the MTV store, actually.
Oh, wow. You went to Goodwill. That's awesome.
He did a TR. That's actually where the MTV is.
I actually thought about it 5 minutes ago when I realized I was wearing an MTV hat, and I was like, oh, God, are they still affiliated? Or have I done something that's, you can arrive and it's a complete faux pas. Like, we're not associated with them anymore.
Oh, no. I think everyone's still cool.
Yeah. It started there, so why not? How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
How are you?
Busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Traveling.
And that's good.
That's why we're here. Guess what we try to talk about all the time. So where have you been?
I've been going on the road a lot. I just got back from doing a tour in Florida. I did Tampa, Orlando, and Miami.
Nice. I was there too.
It was awesome. I did Side Splitters for the first time in Tampa. Really love that club. And then we were at this place called Gramps in Wynwood in Miami. And it was really fun. 75 seats.
Nice.
Sold it out.
Awesome.
Yeah. I was stoked on it.
Nice.
What do you do with all your time when you're traveling through Florida? Say you're doing a string of gigs in Florida. How do you like to spend your days?
Eating people's faces.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Everybody needs coffee, man.
I mean, going to the beach, when we got there, we went a couple days early because I wanted to take my boyfriend, Matt, who's a comedian. We're doing the road together. He's never been to Epcot or Disney World.
Okay.
And so I was like, Epcot, it's like amazing. It's like America's version of every other country. And
that's true.
And you can drink and eat around the world. And like, I think we made it to like Germany and we were just like, I don't know. We need to take a break. And then a storm hit us. So we didn't even get to go to Disney World that long.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah. Was it like a hurricane? And stuff?
Well, just like a typical.
Just
it would
typical?
Be a hurricane for us.
Yeah.
But like a drizzle.
It was a bit windy.
It was a drizzle.
I mean, I was in Orlando too.
Like. There was like parents like pushing their strollers through torrential downpour. I was like, I'm not cut out.
Yeah. I mean, it rains every day. Pretty much. Especially around this time. It's kind of like a rainforest.
Yeah.
You know, it rains and then it just like gets
sunshine.
Dry. Sunshine. And then it rains again. It's just boom. It's kind of like, it's actually like fake rain. Like if you were shooting.
Oh yeah. Like it looks
movie,
like,
it's just like
movie
boom,
rain.
And then it's
totally.
Like, and then it just dries.
Torrential.
It hits the off switch.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's cool. I was just there too. I was in Tampa too. I was in at Tampa Improv, so I don't know. There's Ybor City. Did you get what? Oh, because like that's where the Tampa Improv is.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know where we were specifically, but I did spend a lot of time at the Wawa gas station.
Okay.
So good.
Yeah.
I'm such a huge fan.
Very popular
love their cuisine. I call it cuisine because it's homemade, even though it's at a gas station.
Yeah.
And like my thing is I'll go in and order a bucket of meatballs.
Meatballs.
Yeah, a whole thing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It doesn't even hurt my stomach.
Really?
Yeah, wow. No.
Is that just Wawa or just anywhere?
No, specifically Wawa.
Wawa meatballs.
Is this a road perfected stomach then?
Because I don't know.
I do think the comedian digestive tract is tougher.
I'm telling you, 7-Eleven would destroy me, but Wawa is, I would take a date there.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. I'd take someone out.
Yeah. Share the meatball bucket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. What was an East Coast thing? Do you know that? I don't know if you know.
Well, I've been to a Wawa. Yeah. Okay. I had my first Wawa within the last
don't
year.
Call it a gas station. That's insulting.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't dare. I think I had a bacon cheeseburger and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're usually next to gas stations, but
I do remember
being
gas station adjacent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's not something I've seen anywhere else in the world, too. Like the whole take a number system, like a cafe.
I would let Wawa run our country.
Right.
Wow.
Their cold brew's good. Like, I mean, I have zero complaints. And there's no surcharges on their ATMs.
Wawa
is for America.
Wow.
Why haven't they expanded to the West Coast? Then?
Because I don't know. I don't think we probably don't appreciate. I mean, we should. They should. I DM'd them. I love. They sent me a promo code. I was like,
really?
Wow.
You're a Wawa advocate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like, okay.
Wow.
Love it.
So you're originally from Las Vegas?
Mm-hmm. Born and raised.
Born and raised.
Yeah.
So how is it That you were like outside of it or like in the, I don't know, because I don't think about Vegas.
Must have been
I know
in the suburbs.
I was,
right?
Like we were in the strip. Like the middle of this, we weren't, I didn't live, I wasn't like born on the strip. I was born in like, you know, a part of town. And then like, as my parents got more successful, they moved us to the suburbs,
You know, because that's what you do. You're a local. Yeah. You move.
And when you grow up in Vegas, do you have a disdain for your hometown or are you proud of it? Because, you know, because Vegas is probably the most divisive American city.
Yeah.
Period. Because around the world, people either love coming to Vegas or you hear people say, oh, Vegas is terrible.
Right. I don't know. I think as I've gotten older, I've grown to appreciate it as a great American city, you know, and it's evolved really because it's now a sports town. It wasn't like that growing up. And I think that it's a good place to live, you know.
Yeah.
It's a nice place to live. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, even though you moved from there.
Well, I moved from there because, you know, I think it's good also to get out. You won't really learn how to appreciate your hometown until you see how other hometowns are. And then you realize, oh, this place ain't so bad, you know?
That's true.
That's like, very true. That's, yeah,
we have stoplights.
Words of wisdom.
Yeah. Huge stoplights.
Yeah, like, there are, you know?
I mean, to cross, I mean, in the strip, cross one from one side to the other, it takes you like 20 minutes.
Cause
like you got to go like here. It's like Tetris to just cross to the other side of the strip.
Because I've always wondered what the suburbs of Vegas are like, especially now at this point. I think we all know artists who now live there.
Yeah.
Right. And I know some comedian friends who have moved from there, New Zealand or whatever, and they're based in Vegas now and they sing the praises of it.
Yeah.
But whenever I get to Vegas, I never make it to their neighborhood.
Or
They all show up on the strip or wherever we're working, you know, in those clubs along the strip.
Yeah.
And they're always saying, oh, where I'm at, it's great.
Yeah.
And we've got this lovely community and we never see it.
Up until like a few years ago, it was the fastest growing city in the country. And then obviously the housing market crashed and it was, it went backwards.
Yeah,
but
I
mean, it's like, I think a pretty easy place to live in terms of you know, driving around and existing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It is the desert, so like it's kind of like it's a lot of spread out. I mean, just the fact that they made a city there, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It is pretty crazy. I mean, that heat.
Mm.
Holy cows. It's like a blanket of hot.
I know. I went to Phoenix and I was like, why does anyone live here? And then I was like, well, I'm from Vegas, but I don't know. You're right in a sense of it does get so hot, but that's how I feel about New York when it gets cold. I'm like, it is so cold. It seems like humans shouldn't live here right now.
Yeah. That's why when I moved to America.
Well, he's from Canada. Yeah, so he's like, his cold is like whatever. He lived in, you know, where Superman, the dad was raised.
Oh.
Like that's where he grew up.
He wouldn't let me in the Fortress of Solitude.
No, you're not Superman.
I know.
Just 100 yards.
A lot of crystals.
I'd bring him a coffee.
And ice.
And I'm talking about the 70s one.
Oh, yeah.
Christopher Walker.
Yeah. I know which one.
Yeah,
no,
that's
all true. But basically, I'm totally with you on the. And I lived in England for so long. I was tired of the rain and the cold. And when I moved to America, I think we said that before, I had New York or LA basically were the two choices. And I didn't want to go anywhere with no more snow and rain. I've had enough of it. So that's why I chose California. But now that I'm here, I'm like, I think Vegas seems like a nice, fun place. Can you ever see yourself moving back to Vegas at any point?
Maybe when I'm older. But if I'm older, I probably want to be by the beach.
Yeah. I love the beach. And when you were there growing up with your family, did you take any? Because I mean, Vegas is like a vacation destination. Did you go? Where did you go? Like in vacation, with your family growing up? Any places that you remember? Or any cool stories?
So my parents like warm weather. I don't even know how to ski or snowboard because they never took us anywhere to learn.
Yeah,
and you know, in Vegas, like
you know how to ski on water.
I could get up on that, but I wouldn't know how to ski or snowboard. So they're beach people. So, you know, Mexico, Jamaica, you know, the
those are the holidays,
the, like, anywhere,
like
anywhere like Carnival cruise stops, you know.
Yeah, I love your parents. Less clothing, more fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a firm,
I mean, I grew up on that, son. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm against skiing and snow, strapping things to yourself and yourself.
I think
things.
You know, my parents did the like Disney World when I was very young. Yeah, you know, right. And it's like when you're so young, you don't really appreciate how much it costs your parents.
Oh, it's crazy.
And also standing in line with other parents and other people's kids, and it's like, you know, so yeah, it's if your parents take you to Disney World, they love you but they hate themselves.
That's it's a small war after all, you know what I mean? But that is true. I mean, like, just going there, it's like, it is so I remember the first time I came to the US is because my mom took us to Disney World. And And yeah, I mean,
it's completely not for them, by the way.
Yeah,
it's
not at all.
Only for the kids, and we're not old enough to
appreciate. Yeah. And like, I mean, the only I remember is just my parents. You know, my mom. We couldn't find the rental car because you lost it. It was like Goofy or Pluto or whatever. You know,
I think there needs to be like a place at Disney World where parents can like chill and like have a second of mindfulness, because like I'm sure parents freak the fuck out when they're at
adult Disney, you know what,
like,
I mean?
I guess it's called the bar,
in Disney World or Disney, the one here in California, what is it called? Disneyland. Yeah. There's actually a restaurant called 33 or something like that.
Club 33.
I went.
It's like a secret.
Super exclusive.
I went there.
What?
Sorry,
was it good?
Everybody.
Did you meet the mouse?
Yeah, you do coke and like.
Oh wow.
With
he did coke with the mouse.
With Mickey, it's like crazy. You know?
That's why they call him Goofy. Yeah.
No, I didn't. No, but I did go because actually, you know, Christelle Alonso, my friend. Good friend of mine. She did one of the voices in the movie Cars.
Oh wow!
So like she took me and some of her friends to go to Disneyland, and that's also, I don't know if I can go back again because we had to actually, like, she had like the VIP thing, so like we didn't have to do any lines. And we can go.
You're spoiled.
So you're spoiled for trust.
Yeah. Like, so we just, we would go.
Yeah, I was like, what did you do?
Yeah, we can't go back again.
Did you pee in public again,
well,
Francisco?
Well, I did after I went to Club 33. No, but it was great. So it's like, and then we ended up going to that restaurant. So
right.
It's like, so yeah. So, I mean, there is that as the. Oh, wow.
I have friends who got me to lie to their children recently because they came from Edmonton. They came all the way from Edmonton and they had told their kids, probably 11 and 9, I'm going to guess their ages. I don't know. But they told them, because they didn't realize how expensive Disney was by the time they came here, and they didn't have the budget, so they took them to the L.A. Zoo instead.
Oh,
and
man.
I came with them, and I had to be in on the lie that they were telling them all day.
Wait, they were saying that the L.A. Zoo was Disney World?
No, they were saying that Disney was closed. Like, the Disney...
Oh, no.
Disneyland never closes.
Yeah.
But it obviously can be unaffordable to some
it's
people
so messed
who
up.
Have come all the way, because it made me realize when I was a kid, I didn't... I was taking, what's the farm one? The Knott's
Berry.
My parents, when we came all the way from British Columbia or whatever, when I was a kid, I remember we went to Knott's Berry Farm instead of Disney. And I'm pretty sure my parents made it look like it was a choice. Like, oh, there's a cooler one. Even though my brother and I had the mouse hats on and we're like ready to go. But my poor Canadian parents were probably like, this is a little bit out of budget. Let's just take them to another thing and tell them it's Disney.
You see like groups of people, I'm like, wow, like how is it, how do you have like 10 of your family members here? You must be like
an
oligarch or something.
The food is crazy expensive,
everything.
I mean, it's like, well, I don't know, would you get a
parking
anything? It's like, so it's like, imagine you just have a family of four. That's like $1,000.
You want Mickey's autograph, you have to suck his dick.
Oh wow. Wait, does Mickey
that's
have
true
a
that's true
that's really
actually.
Awkward for dad.
Does Mickey have a penis?
He does.
But like, I know he does, but like in the cost, like in does he
Mickey
walk around,
doesn't, but the guy theory. Who's trying to make an extra $50 does.
I think I got an autograph.
Wow. Like he walks around, like imagine just like the actual just like costume of the Mickey Mouse walking around with his dick out. Everybody's like, whoa.
Dude, you can't. You have to be like on your best behavior even when you're not in the Mickey costume. Because if you're not presenting like Disney,
that's true.
You know,
so when
you're
not
allowed to be seen with,
you know,
head,
when Mickey gets his dick, so he goes like from hello, he's like hello, hello. Hey, I'm Mickey, what's up, I'm back.
It's Michael.
I'm Michael. Wow. All right.
Childhood traumas, man.
No, that's not a trauma. That's actually pretty cool. By the way, it's cool though. Like one thing though, I think you said, like if you're a parent or an adult to go to those, I think it's good. Like if you take like an edible or something, that's pretty cool. Like
yeah.
I did the edible thing and in the Space Mountain, that's pretty cool.
Were you around children? No.
Yeah, but
you,
I mean, I didn't bring
high
them.
Around
no, no,
children.
No, no.
If, you, if they catch you with those, they'll like ban you from. You won't even be able to rent Disney movies. Like,
really?
Well, no, but you can't come back to the. You can't come back to the land. You're banned.
Really?
If they catch you with edibles, oh yeah, they're so strict with that. Or vaping, I still do it. You know.
But how are they gonna catch? Oh, like I mean,
because there were people. There's like people who are like just like
like doing
just like
it too
being
much.
Dumb or you know.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't eat it. I wouldn't eat it before.
Though,
I go.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there's like Disney jail. Like I'm sure there's like yeah, you won't even be allowed. Like if when you
that's
check in, you show up
dick.
On a list. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
I know Michael.
Can I get out?
There's no get out of jail free kind of like he was telling
it. So yeah, you have to be like so discreet about it. Because kids, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, I get
kids.
That. I'm not saying like do it in front of the kids.
No, but do it. Definitely do it.
Ruining.
But like before you go in.
Yeah.
Like before you go in.
Yeah.
You know. What
oh,
I mean?
There's nothing wrong.
I just hate taking edibles in public, but I do like vaping. I vape.
Mm.
Right.
And this.
But I think Disney would be if it would be so dope if they had like a smoking section. You know, 420.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
Feel like edibles night? In public are harder to control than having than.
I just I don't like the I get tired. I you know sometimes they don't react like they make. They make me like throw up. I just I don't all like right. Eating weed, so I like smoking it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because yeah, you always... you're a big advocate. Of,
yeah.
Yeah. You smoke yeah. a lot.
Pothead, yes. But yeah.
Because yeah, I'm always. Hey, do you have any tips on how to deal with the munchies? Because this is crushing me lately. Like I feel that I used to be good at being stoned.
Yeah.
And keeping my cravings at bay.
Just
but
picture
lately...
yourself with a six pack. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, just picture that and then ask yourself like is it really worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it really worth?
That doesn't work when you're stoned though
no,
because your immediate answer is no,
no
it's
is it
not.
Well like it's like also is it really worth like the stomach ache or like what cuz like
true. It's just waking
I,
up.
At, if you like me it's like as comics like we eat late at night sometimes and it's like
yeah.
deciding like do you want to feel like shit or you know do you, are you going to just be hungry?
So you're
hungry?
Saying it's the power of the psyche then.
Oh, that's all mind. That's all mind. I mean, because if you get, I would say just drink water or like,
right.
or
so
choose something
like,
healthy, like fruit or like, I like charcuterie. It's so like meat and cheese and veggies.
Go. I eat that.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
that's
it's like you get all this, the sweet, savory, salty.
Just stay away from the carbs.
Maybe address whatever you're craving, but in the healthier version of it.
Or also, how about like eating before and then?
No, that's the bad idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because no. yeah,
then you're
going to
get
either.
Even hungrier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it hits you, you're just like, all
like,
right.
Well, ask yourself, what is it that you're really craving? And then just be like, okay, well, what would be like the better option for that, but still satisfying
right.
that craving? And that, but also, it's like, are you hungry or are you just high?
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
Often knowing the answer, unfortunately, is not the solution.
Yeah. So drink water or tea. Drink something.
I brush my teeth.
Smoothie. Helps. Yeah.
To when you get
you
high.
Eat once you brush your teeth. You know.
Really.
Yeah. No, watch a gross video.
Okay. That's.
Yeah.
All right. These are all great advice because all I've been doing lately is eating. So
just look,
I was at a wedding as well.
I feel like these are questions you'd find on like an eating disorder website. How do I avoid eating, basically?
Yeah, yeah. That's where I'm at. Yeah. I was at a wedding in Colorado.
Yeah.
As you know, you won't know that, but I was just at a wedding in Colorado all weekend, of course, Colorado. So we had plenty of edibles and cannabis going around and plenty of wedding food. Mm. And I had no moral eating.
You just went nuts.
Oh, it's been great. I'm still craving most of the food that we had all weekend in Colorado.
Sounds good.
Which, by the way, also, speaking of turning the rain off and on, is exactly what happened in Colorado as well. To me, that's American weather.
Mm-hmm.
Is it rains.
It's the season.
It rains hard, and then somebody hits the off switch, and then it's gorgeous.
Well, it's also the season. So when did you first move? To do, because when did you start? You always wanted to do stand up, or is that a thing that you?
I mean,
did it later, or
it's like stand up was kind of always there. As soon as I got to my 20s, because I never really had like direction growing up. Like my parents, I think they wanted me to go into being a lawyer or whatever, but that never really interested me. I was never good at school, but I was smart.
But he doesn't know the backstory. Your parents are lawyers.
Yeah, my mom, she was a judge, and my dad is the district attorney of Las Vegas.
Right. Oh, wow.
So, and my sister's a lawyer, right. my little sister.
So all in the family.
Yeah. So for me, I was like kind of, I don't know, I just was kind of lost. I went to college because they told me to go to college.
Where, in Vegas?
No, I went to school in Vermont, and then I was in D.C. for a year.
I grew up in
And I was like the dumbest person in all my classes in D.C. So I was like, I'll move to Florida, and then I was like a genius. And so I finished up school in Florida, and I got a master's in communication, which I'm like, right. that's like a joke. But that's, you know, communication, comedy's public speaking, and I did a lot of writing in college. And then when I was living in Florida, I went to my first stand-up show. I went to see...
Where in Florida?
I was living in Boca, which is South Florida, but I went to see Mike Epps at the Fort Lauderdale Improv. Mm-hmm. And so I started going to stand-up shows with my friends. I was like early 20s. Like 22, pretty much as soon as, you know, you can go to the shows. Mm-hmm. And I saw Mike Epps, Bob Saget, John Lovitz. For my friend's 21st birthday, her dad flew her out, and I met them to go see Andrew Dice Clay in Vegas. Okay, so that was like all of my 20s was I was being introduced to live stand-up, whereas I'd only seen it on TV before because I was not able, old enough to go to clubs. So it was there, and I just remember the feeling that I got watching the comedians, and it was magnetic. That's the only term I can explain. So when I moved from Florida to LA in 2013, and it wasn't until 2016 did I start stand up.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you moved here to do stand up.
No, I moved here. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just wanted to work in entertainment, and I was like, I had a marketing degree, and I had a job when I moved out here doing social media, so it gave me some comfort to like
live not here, yeah.
yeah to like really get situated. And I'm always so grateful for my boss who, you know, allowed me to work remotely for 2 years essentially.
Yeah, that matters a lot, doesn't mm-hmm. it, to give you those kind of opportunities.
So that, and then it was one of those things where it was really meant for me, but it took a lot of like failing at a lot of other things.
Right.
And to really put me in the position to be like, oh, this is what you're doing. Cause I never growing up, I never personally was like, oh, comedy is like a job. Like you could do, I just saw Chris Rock and I was like, he's always been Chris Rock. Like came out of the womb, So I didn't know that there was like how you even got, I couldn't even fathom like the whole process.
Or
of
that
it.
There's many levels of making a living within that.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So I have a friend who started doing it. And so that's what really humanized it for me, which was, you know, she took a class and she started going to open mics.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like through that I learned there was a way
like
into
a path.
That.
Yeah.
Career.
Because I just moved here in 2016. I feel like you were already a fixture on the circuit.
I think it was because I had worked at the Improv. I came through, I started like as a bartender. I was working for Levity doing social media.
Oh, right.
So I started like corporate my way into, like no one starts at corporate comedy. So
right.
I think people might have known me from seeing me at the club doing social media, doing podcasting there. And
so even with the magnetic attraction to stand up, how long do you feel that it took you to find your feet as a stand up?
Mm-hmm.
Were you immediately comfortable?
No, I still don't think I'm comfortable. Like I'm still very uncomfortable. I still get anxiety every time I go on stage. It's not bad anxiety. It's I'm excited, but like I put a lot of pressure on myself. And so, you know, I'm learning the art form and it's really a journey and it's a lot. So for me, the way I approached it was if I'm going to do this, I'm 29 years old, which, you know, I don't really think about my age so much because I don't think it matters when you start if you're meant for it as long as you start.
I think a little bit of life experience always goes a long way as well.
Right.
Being a stand-up is exponential.
Totally.
You can be 19 and talking about pop music or whatever, but with 20, even at 29, you got some life experience to go behind to learn your comedy.
So my approach to it was, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to put my whole life into it, and I'm going to really immerse myself in the art form and just hit the ground running. So that's really what I did. I started going to mics and writing jokes, and I never stopped.
So, yeah, I think that's the kind of like the way to do it. I mean, it is a lifestyle, and I had the same thing growing up. I was like, I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't even know I wanted to do it until I, you know, figure out. And then I moved here, and then when I first moved here, and then I started coming here and meeting people, and that's where it was like, oh wow, there's actually people that think like me, you know. And that was like, and then just hitting the open mics, and then that's where I met Matt, Edgar, you know, and like all the, I mean, those were like my class, where we just went from open mic to open. I mean, I remember meeting Matt at the Laugh Factory.
He said you were his first friend.
We were there waiting at the Laugh Factory, you know. It was so, I don't know if they still do it, like at Tuesdays, at you had to wait until like 4 p.m.
Yeah. The mic,
And then it was like, so I remember just because like, it was just like basically a bunch of homeless people and then Matt and me. So we're just doing this. We're like, we felt like, okay, we're doing it for the right reason. The other ones, they just wanted to talk.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But like, and then that's how we met. And then we started working here together and all this stuff. But like, but I feel like it is like, it is a lifestyle. I mean, I tell people that. It's like, either if you can just do it as a hobby, well, like anything, if you want to be good at anything, you can't just be like, I just want to do it once. But especially stand up, it's like a form of living or thinking. You
yeah,
know?
It's
like
a mindset.
It's a mindset. And if you don't have that, then you're not going to be, because it's very tough in the beginning, man.
Yeah. If you don't have mental illness, get the fuck out.
Yeah. There's going to be something a little, I mean, we're the ones that think, you know, I mean, like for me, I remember like even just going back and thinking, I'm like, yeah, I remember I would make even jokes when like, if there's like a funeral or something, you know, like that kind of mindset.
I can't control it. It's uncontrollable for me. Like I was always like that even as a kid.
Exactly.
You know, hearing the pause, and then there's where I say what I was going
to
say.
And then stuff that people be like, don't say that. Like you're not supposed to say that. I was like, well.
Or you say what I'm thinking, but
exactly,
out loud.
So that's cool. And then like, so you started here, and then like, and then now that you're traveling, like, is there any, well, like, I think you kind of like talk about it a little bit, but like, is there a thing that now that you're on the road and doing shows, and like, what, because there's like a stand up when we travel, you know, there's a lot of downtime until we do the shows. I mean, is there anything in particular that you like to do, like activities or stuff like, hey, you know, I want to, you know, that you, when you're on the road, that I'm like, I want to do this, I want to hit the restaurant.
Well, if weed's legal, then I always want to try to hit up a local dispensary. And then I'm a foodie, so like if it's like a local mom and pop spot, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, I try to like support local, you know, spots like that. That's what I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, like.
Are you equally comfortable being high on stage as being sober as well? If you're smoking pot like during the day? And...
yeah, I mean, I'm actually trying to get more comfortable with not being high on stage.
Are you now?
But
and
I mean,
why is that?
You know, well, it's not, you know, some, I opened for someone recently, and I did like 4 shows. I did 25 minutes on each show, and it was like the best I've ever done. And I wasn't high like immediately when I got on stage. So I treat stand up like, you know, if it's an open mic and I'm trying to get those juices on, I'll smoke before. But if it's like a bigger show, unless it's like Felipe Esparza's show, I'll be so high when I get on stage.
So
I'm like, I'm learning from my mentor. He's high. He smoked the ounce. I smoked the ounce. So
that's a big tour. Like if you were a rapper, you'd be a dog.
You know, so, but yeah, I just, I really try to gauge like what's the vibe? What does the room need? Like, is it a show where like I should be high on stage?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Oh,
but
that's really cool.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I found... Well, I used to smoke a lot more and never care.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's as I'm getting older, I speak slow enough as it is. And when I'm stoned trying to get to a punchline, I have noticed in the last 4 or 5 years that
I just
I'm not reaching it as
efficiently.
I just try
to do what, like, because for me, like I was saying, you know, I still get anxiety. I have anxiety in general. So like performing, right, for me, it's like ultimately my weakness is the rejection, right? Is that I get out there and they hate me. That's like my greatest fear. So for me, it's like I want to be on my toes. I want to be like confident when I get on stage. And maybe sometimes when I'm high, I'm not so confident with myself because I'm paranoid and I'm second guessing. And I'm like, you know, so for me, I think with if it's a show I'm nervous about, I'll just like I'll try to go in as clear minded as possible.
And then you mentioned like they don't like me, because we all of us comics have bombed. Like, have you, like, what's, you remember, like, what's the worst or show that you had that you were like,
do you remember a first death?
Like when nobody laughed.
I mean, I literally I bombed the other day. Not, I wouldn't even say bomb.
Bomb is different.
I'm very hard on myself. Yeah. So like if the laughs aren't loud to me, it's like I didn't bomb. But I know it's like all I, you know, for me it's there was a show I did like not too long after I started. I think it was in 2016, and it was a show in Vegas. So my mom and dad and like my dad invited like everyone, the whole town, and he was so excited. And it was like very, very early on. And I don't even know if I bombed. I probably did, but I didn't have the awareness of like, oh, those aren't like real laughs. Those might be like, you know, I don't know.
Supported.
But I always,
pity laughs.
The thing is though, is like, even from the beginning, I kind of came with jokes because I was a writer before I got into stand up. So I knew what a joke was, but it was more just like the uncomfortability.
Persona, yeah.
You could tell I was uncomfortable there. So it didn't matter like what my jokes were.
Yes. Yeah.
They weren't going to hit as if I came with conviction, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So it was more just like, but yeah, I mean, I had a show recently at a weed place, a weed dispensary, and I bombed so hard that I cried when I left. And but it, you know,
sure,
I bombed in Miami right after. So right after our show that was amazing, you know, in Wynwood, I did a bar show, and I was like, why the fuck am I doing this to myself? My friend hit me up. She was like, it's X amount of money. And I was like, all right, you know, that's a dinner. So, you know, I get there and I can't stand these shows where it's like not conducive for comedy.
Oh, I hate that.
Because it's insulting to comedy. It's insulting to the people there. It's insulting to the comedians. Like, it's just, you never feel good after those shows. And I'm not saying we as comedians, like, it's not that like I'm above these shows, but I'm trying to get better as a comic.
Exactly.
I want to learn. And those shows, all I end up doing is hating myself and doubting myself. And like, as comedians, we already come with that energy. So it's like, we deserve all the bombs, but I want to bomb in a club and then learn how to get out of it. So it's like, oh, it wasn't a bomb, but I figured it out.
Because this one is fucking TV song.
I'm literally performing in front of someone's like birthday party. Like, I'm not the fucking piano player at Nordstrom's.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know?
Because that one, you can play and nobody gives a shit.
It's not even a stage.
And also the piano player, it's like, it's on his mind or his, her mind. It doesn't matter. We need the people attention and stuff like that. So I don't,
like,
I hate
guys
shows
back
like
to me. And the thing was, it's like a bunch of my friends came, so they had to see me have like a meltdown, you know? So it was like, oh, I hated it.
It's so funny because I was actually also in Miami. I was doing some shows and I had a friend. He's like, I want to come to the show. I was like, and I told him like, I don't know how the show's going to be. I'm doing this just because, so it's like, I don't want you to come and then bring friends. And then it's just like that. So it's like, I don't know if it's going to be conducive. So it's like,
I couldn't even look my friends in the eye. I was like, we may have to end this right now.
Because then they go like,
non-comedy friends
not that
are the
good.
Worst.
I know.
Because they all have a different idea.
And they're like,
of what,
but they still try to comfort
well.
You. And it's like, don't comfort me.
Oh, yeah, that's even worse. Yeah. That's even worse. Don't
try this.
Don't touch me.
You tried, you know?
So this is how it usually goes for you.
Yeah.
But it's like every night for you. Oh, okay.
No, it was rough.
Interesting.
Was
I
rough.
Could never do what
you do. It's the hardest job in the world. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Oh, yeah, I know. And then just the flip side, like, what's the... showed that you like you went you were like ooh like something click or you're like
this is like brag now
what yeah I mean like well, no, like there's just, also different shows when you go like wow that was different that was good I did better than I ever did or something like
yeah
that.
No I, it was those shows I was talking about recently I got to open for Christina P in Minneapolis at Acme which
that's
was
a great
really
club
cool.
Right?
I was first time there and so yeah she had me we had four shows and I did 25 minutes each show and it's I did straight jokes the whole time
awesome
and I was like oh wow like I'm getting a rhythm here and I was getting tags on stage I'm like writing you know I put up clips of stuff that I was like oh I completely did that
nice
on
the
moment
on the, yeah because yeah. you were in the
I
moment
I am funny like I do have a talent but yeah so that was just like recently it's like I'm you know because I feel like I'm 6 years in and I'm just out now starting to like write fuller jokes like I'm a big one-liner because I love words and play on words and things like right. that but full jokes with a beginning middle and an end and I mean that takes so long to even comprehend and so I feel like I'm starting to get into that place
Plus, yeah
right on
where I'm just starting to maybe comprehend it a little bit more but I don't know I don't want to jinx myself
no that's I think that's true I think that's I think I also had the same thing too just getting you know when I was like in around 6-7 years I was like oh okay I'm getting to know and then it goes another thing I think it never ends so you're always kind of like getting better and better and better I mean if you work at it
I think when
it,
you get
you
that
know.
First story when you find when you see that yeah. oh I just did a story I've got a
right.
story that
beginning,
I'm doing
middle,
right
and
now
end.
And,
yeah.
and then he, and then he has
and it's funny and, it has and jokes it has punchlines
yeah. and then you start going oh and then you start looking for where's my next story and then all of a sudden you become this yeah you're telling
and you can write longer
and then, yeah okay. and then they end up with the one liners in them in the middle and you get addicted to doing that
that's pretty cool and it's true like I think the whole thing about also not doing because I when I started here I also some comics, and then I heard stories about. So I was like, I was never wanted to like have a crutch, so that's why I was like, I never like, you know. And also for me, I need to be very sharp in order for me to, because I want to be quick in stage. So for me, I never like drank too much or did any weed because I never wanted to develop that thing of like, oh, I need to be, or even like I remember even wearing like a stupid like. The same shirt.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, what am I
right.
doing?
The
like
superstition
the superstition
thing.
Things. I mean, and also, is there a thing that you even have like superstitions or even for shows or when you travel or something like that, you know?
Well, I feel like when I work out, I'm a better performer on stage.
Before?
Yeah. If I like go to the gym that day, I'll just, cause it gets rid of that anxiety flutters. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get rid of it, but the intensity is like dialed down so that when I'm on stage, I catch my breath. Cause my thing is like, I have to do breathing exercises before I get on stage. Cause my breath, my heart rate gets up and I'm out of breath. I'm like, you know, so I have to catch my breath. And sometimes I'm just so excited that I'm like, oh God, my heart's beating faster than I'm breathing. Like I gotta like catch my breath.
Yeah.
So, so it's easier when I work out to like, cool. you know, have that dialed down.
Right.
Cause,
I was going to say about your, like you've always gone sober, but I'm in your camp of like, sometimes I smoke pot because I think it'll add some sort of creativity to it. Although I do know that going on stage sober and performing is my best. That's my best version of me. But I often do, if I've got, you know, if I've storyboarded something on my wall or something like that, I do tell myself, well, a little spliff and watch this and then the extra creative juices will come through.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think you've, over time, you figure out what is best for you, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's some comics who never go on stage sober and
they
kill,
and they that's what I mean like and that's the thing that
sometimes
I'm like
they don't
like,
remember what they did though
it's so true
it depends on the
find
the
your
comic.
Process
exactly
and your poison
find your process and your poison that's another good we always ask for one last piece of advice and she's just crushed it with like three or four
Thank
already
you.
Yeah
I'm dying to ask you as well you mentioned earlier that your tour through Florida you were with your boyfriend
yeah.
So what's it like touring as a couple? Like, I guess naturally you're
gonna. Are you getting inside info from Christina P?
Oh right, do they tour together?
No, but they're there is two successful comics that are married.
Any
right, but they don't Right, but they don't argue on the road together.
They both kind of have their, like, I know they have their podcasts and stuff, but as far as stand-up, they both kind of, like, do their own thing. It's been great because Matt has been doing stand-up for, like, what, 15 years? Mm-hmm. So for me, I feel like I'm traveling with a mentor, okay. And I get to, like, you know, I have someone there who supports me and really has that knowledge and eye for to help me get better. Right. So I feel stoked about it.
You're like, it's like a team.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Tagging each other just jokes then, yeah,
we make fun of each other and kind of play off each other. And it really brings the crowd in on like an inside joke almost. Right. So like even if we're on the same show, it's not my own shows, but if people book us together, it kind of takes the audience into like our world for a second.
Yeah.
So it's fun, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. Do you have a specific headliner? Like, or do you guys flip the coin? Or
You know, so I am learning to follow him because he's a really, really good comic. And we switch it up when we're doing shows. But like in terms of like when we're on the road, because it's they're billing it as like either Rachel Wolfson or Rachel Wolfson and Friends or Rachel Wolfson and Matt Edgar. But like I think for me as a comic and for all comics, like I had to follow Eleanor Kerrigan the other day, you know, and she's a fucking beast. Yeah. And it's like, I need to get used to following comics who are 15 years in. Like I have to become a headliner. So like the only way to do it is to do it and fail.
Totally.
And then get good, you know, and learn from that because I'm getting headlining shows at 6 years in and I don't have an hour, but I'm learning and growing. Right. So yeah. So
that's the perfect attitude.
Yeah. And then when are you like when you travel, are you like do you like having all the amenities to make it easier travel, or do you, because he, for example, doesn't give a shit about the, I like my status. I like flying.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
I like.
So I'm new to this. I'm new to this. You know,
getting travel a lot. Yeah.
I'm new to the travel community. Cool. Really.
So for me, I recommend you get stick to one. But it depends on your personality.
Okay. So I'm used to either. I got kind of lucky. So when I first started, like Felipe Esparza pretty much took me on the road my first or second year in. So I got to feature for him and he takes care of his comics. And
which that's,
you know,
I think that's a cool thing.
The best. And then I've been on the road with comics where we've traveled to Canada and we shared me and two dudes shared a motel or one of those and it's like grimy as fuck. Yeah. So like for me, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'm not talking hotel. I like a better standard hotel, sure.
But that's the thing, as a comic, like you really get a range when you start, you know, opening and traveling for people and seeing like how other people do it, you know, and how it, so like I also I love a good comic condo, like the one in there's one in Denver. I think that's really dope. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I recently, you know, now that I've started traveling more, like I got Delta Sky Club.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a member.
Continue.
Yeah.
Continue.
So now I don't have the anxiety when I get to the airport that I'm not going to get my coffee and I'm not going to have a place to poop, respectfully. You know,
Take a shower.
Yeah, yeah, if you want to take a shower. Because, like, after you poop, you have to shower.
Yeah, because
and so,
that's
at
what
the
I
airport,
do.
You don't want to travel like that.
Yeah.
So
that's true. Clean bathrooms in those Amazon.
It's so nice. And I didn't know
the common one.
I only knew about it because like they had us doing press for Jackass and like I got to go into it and I was like, I can never go back.
Yeah.
Right.
I can never go back.
I'm
so for $50 a month.
It's just, it's so much better. I get there. I know I'm going to have my things. I'm going to have my.
I was in the lounges yesterday and but the lounges yesterday in Denver Airport were busier.
Oh my God. I know. I noticed they're very busy. So I looked around and I was like, what kind of club is this? I was like, you guys are just letting anyone in because I think that.
I guess I was in there.
No, they know they're just letting anyone in now because there's a lot of promotions. I read like, because people are like, oh, the clubs are overpopulated. And I was like, yeah, what's going on here?
Right.
Like, why is everyone here? And it's a lot of promotions going on and like first time or like the tickets, like depending on your ticket, you can get in. Because I was pissed. I was at the buffet. I'm like, why is everyone here?
Yeah, me too. I hate that.
Okay, so I will express then that I still haven't changed my mind, because I had access to the Delta Lounge yesterday in Denver and the United one. So I went to Delta first and I thought it was fine, but I wanted to get over to my terminal. So then I went to United. Both were too busy.
Oh, lounge hopping.
And then I went to the United one and I had a couple beers.
Love it.
And then went down to my departure lounge. But see, I like to just be sitting in the departure lounge.
No. I like to literally like I'm walking into the gate and like they call my group. I'm like, whoop.
Yeah, 100%. Wait, what's the food like in the United Lounge? Is it like just as good as Delta Sky Club?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah.
But have you been to the Admiral?
Do they have hard-boiled eggs?
Yeah, I think they all do have hard-boiled eggs.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. Give me the protein.
The American, they got hard-boiled eggs.
Really? Hummus?
They got guacamole with a little salmon. You know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, see,
good stuff. And plus, also, I like also having my seat that choose the seat that I want.
Yeah.
Exit row. Sometimes I get a lot of bumps on first class, you know, for like, so it's like, yeah.
Yeah, but that's only like $9 to choose your seat.
No, but it's already included.
Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I was with United and Delta.
They got you $9.
United and Delta.
Seat?
Yeah, and it was $9 to get your window
but,
seat.
But I mean, no.
They charge you to choose your seat?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of fucking gimmick is that? Like, obviously, unless they automatically, you let it leave it up to the Lord. Like, they choose it
sometimes,
for you.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll leave it up to the Sky Lord.
I'm also another member that I'm not part of. He is actually part of the Mile High Club.
Oh, Mile High Club.
Are you a member of that club?
No.
Yeah, I'm not
either.
Listen,
I can't get it on in coach. Not comfortably. Mm-hmm. Like, there's too close. Like,
well, first class is also like, now, like, everybody can go in there anyways.
Yeah.
It's not like a door. Like, now people can still walk to the bathroom. Same bathroom.
You're really losing your privileges.
If it was like one of the Emirates flights where you have your own seat.
Yeah, exactly.
Hell yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. That I'm doing it. Yeah.
Come inside.
Yeah.
I think my Mile High situation was very similar to that.
Oh, you were in like an Emirates club?
Oh, yeah, I was flying to Britain from...
you had like a suite?
We had a lot of space.
Wow. Oh,
okay, that's good. All right, then, that's cool.
It's exclusive.
Yeah, Yeah. Okay, that's enough details on that.
I'm not even in the 0 mile.
No, you're in
still
the bus. You're in the gray house.
I've gotten on in the back of a car, so I'm in the 30 mile.
Yeah. I don't even like car. I remember car stuff. It's just very annoying. I like having space. I don't like, you know, I need to move around.
I think we all like having space.
Yeah.
People like the car.
Nobody's here going, I've had sex in a really cramped situation.
No,
the other
I loved
day,
it.
And it was the
wait, best. We're talking about sex? Sorry.
Yeah, do you think it's just a club that you just declare yourself in? Are we a mile up yet, man?
He just thought you had to be high.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He's like, I'm a mile high.
I got an edible in.
That's how high I am. Miles.
And then now that you're traveling a lot, and then also, is there any destinations that are favored to you in the U.S. or in the world that you got like that you'd two things that you perform at, or also that you just want to like to visit as a tourist?
Oh yeah, I mean, I like to travel, so I like to go just to new places, even you know, even if it's not like a travel destination. But I like places that are warm. I like Costa Rica and Mexico and Jamaica. And
so just like your parents handed you down the holiday decisions.
I went to Greece. That was dope.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm just down for the journey.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. When you go to those like places, do you like to stick to like the resort hotel, or you like to venture out and be like, give me like, you know.
A little bit of both. I like to relax and like I like to be in the water. Swimming and stuff. So, yeah, if there's a water, if there's like a beach or somewhere to swim, that's really all I need. Lake, someone's bathtub, you know?
Yeah.
And have you performed in any of those places, like as a show? Like, have comedy bring you to those places?
Florida, brought me there, but not to like anywhere international.
Not yet.
Yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, one day.
One day.
Comedia en español.
Well, it's happening. Yeah. I did went to Dominican Republic to do shows.
Oh, really?
In Spanglish.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
Damn. So that sounds fun.
That was really fun.
How does that work in Spanglish? And also, do you speak Spanish then?
No.
No.
Okay, all right.
Not well.
Just learned a little bit.
What do you mean that does it work? You go back and forth.
Like, what? You do, yeah, go back and forth.
Oh, like you mean the stand-up?
You say it. No, well, you translate yourself?
No. Why would I translate? Because the audience is supposed to know both English and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going. So you're just speaking a hybrid.
Like what
French Canadians do.
Yeah, like I was doing bits in English, and then I would do other bits in Spanish, and then crowd work in Spanish, and so it's kind of like
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's
just, a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. Yeah, that's cool. Let's see. We'll have the question. The last one we had is
we do have should we do a time check? We're very professional here, right?
Oh, no.
Oh, we're 50. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, we're almost done. So that we should. Well, first of all, is there any shows that you have coming up that you want to?
I'll be in Vegas for Skankfest. I think the second week of October.
Nice.
And then I'm going to be a Vulcan in November in Austin. So the tickets for that are on my website, Rachel Wolfson Comedy.
Cool.
And then, I'm on social media, Instagram at Rachel Wolfson, Twitter at Wolfie Comedy, TikTok Rachel Wolfson. I don't know. I'm having a branding crisis. Yeah.
But it's also, I always tell people, like, just Google.
Yeah,
you know,
you'll find me.
The branding crisis never ends.
Yeah.
Because, somebody's always going to recognize you for one thing and look you up. And
totally.
She does stand up comedy.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, we have one. Well, I think we should. Yeah, let's do the question.
Well,
should we do our final?
Okay, so we usually have a final question, but then to celebrate having you on as a guest,
the fact that you were in Jackass, which is cool. We have a little our Bobby guy here. We're gonna do a little trivia question. We're gonna ask you questions.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
And then hopefully you get him right. But if you don't get him right, then he's gonna
get canceled.
Then if you didn't guy, then I'm gonna shoot him with assault fly. What is it called?
The
assault gun.
Assault gun.
But it's to kill flies, and they just throw salt on it.
Okay.
It's not
flies with salt at high capacity.
Safety goggles on them or something?
What?
We're not putting safety goggles on them or
anything? Close my eyes.
You don't need safety goggles when you're shooting people in the nuts.
Okay, yeah.
I'm
not going to shoot.
I don't know if we want to get demonetized, but I'm not saying that.
Oh, wait, sorry.
What?
If I get you guys demonetized.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was just saying, like, that you can say it, but if I pull them out, we might be in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
But I'm down.
No, we're not.
It's OnlyFans content.
I'll just shoot you in the chest or in your eye or something.
Respectfully,
But first, we want to ask a question that we always ask the guests. It's like, is there any, you mentioned a couple, but is there any one travel advice that you have?
Yeah.
That you want to give or share with people from the audience that when you travel, sounds like, hey, you should be doing that,
And bring extra underwear.
Right.
I do that. I always bring a lot of underwear.
Yeah. Do you bring everything else for the day? Like, if you're going for 4 days, are you like 4 shirts, 4 pairs of socks?
20 pairs of underwear.
So why is that? Why?
You just never know when you might get yourself into a shitty situation.
The most important item of clothing as well.
No, I get it. I mean, I use it because it's like I worked out, I do this stuff, where it's like 20 is like a lot.
Yeah. 20 is a lot.
I thought this was a no judgment zone.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, sure. Yeah, all right.
20 is a lot, but hey, you want that security. Job security.
That's true.
You can do anything with your day.
That's true.
All
right,
so
bring 20 pieces of underwear.
Well, just bring extra.
He only wears one.
Okay.
Well, you know.
Where did you come up with that? Don't slander.
I could just see you're like you flipped them over or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the last case.
Why you would dream that up? Just because?
Or just buy? There's you gotta go see the.
Just because I don't go to your little airport
lounges
and don't buy into that doesn't mean I'm a very efficient.
Yeah.
Traveler.
All right. So now we're gonna ask the questions. Bobby's gonna sit here.
While they get set up for the little stunt, I do have a Jackass related question for you, Rachel. How long does it take to heal from a scorpion bite to the lips?
Or a scorpion sting, or whatever. Well, your mouth is, like, I think, one of the fastest parts of your healing parts of your body.
Okay.
But, like, for a couple of days, I could feel, like, the venom going down to
like
my,
easily
like,
a couple of days.
Yeah, it was, like, a couple of days. But, I mean, the pain, it It didn't last like too long, but it was like painful.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably like a day for it, but it's still like the venom was like going down to my lymph nodes, so I was like swollen here for a couple of days.
And they just kept you under hospital, like, or under supervision. Was anybody knocking on your door going, "How are you doing?"
Supervision? Like, my cats looked out for me. There's no supervision. No, I didn't take any medical treatment because I wanted it to swell up. They wanted to see it, how big they get. So.
Yeah. Well, your lips look great.
Thank you.
I'm surprised you don't have to check in with anybody or any, like.
It's Jackass. Yeah. There's no checking in.
There's no concussion. There's no concussion protocol, and there's no scorpion sting
the
to
only
the face
thing
like
that
protocol.
The only thing that they took seriously was COVID, which that's what I read that you said that.
It's the only thing.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like the gold standard for COVID safety. Like on set was Jackass. I was like, what a world we're living in.
But it seemed like they used that to pull pranks on you guys.
Yeah,
right?
They did. They did. Well, they did.
So. Now. Okay, so now we're stunt ready, but don't you have to be on camera, buddy? Aren't we going to go?
He's going to be on camera, and I'm just going to hit him.
I like your top.
Thank you. You know,
so just ask her.
Yeah, we're both
It's as simple as that? Okay.
I think that the vibes are, like, so chill. Now we're just about to blast.
What? That was perfect? Okay, cool.
All right. Would you like to
Rachel,
introduce?
My life is in your hands.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
This is Bobby.
Hey. Oh, yeah, I haven't been on.
Bobby, by the way. This is his first time on camera.
True.
And we're going to shoot him.
Yeah, this is an honor.
Do you remember the Gerber?
An honor.
Do you guys remember the Gerber baby? This is him growing up.
20 years later.
We've got the grown-up Gerber baby here.
Goo goo gaga.
And
I'm excited. I'm so scared. Please.
And we've got Francisco with a gun. Rachel, with a salt gun.
I'm sorry.
I'm really scared.
Okay. So, Rachel, thank you for helping us initiate him in this style.
I don't know how bad this is going to hurt.
Honestly. I don't know the last time I read a map, but okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Or a globe. I've read a globe once.
Yeah, and don't forget, like, no matter what your instinct is, getting it wrong is no harm to you.
Okay.
So, here's your first question. What is the largest country in South America?
The largest country in South America...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Is it Brazil?
It's correct.
Oh. Let's go! Rachel in the clutch.
Whoa!
The clutch. My heart is racing.
Hell yeah.
Good job.
Who came up with that first question? That wasn't...
Was that hard?
No, that was... It's
going to
get harder.
We've got a lot of potential here, I'm sure. All right, you ready for this? You ready to keep this roll alive?
Okay.
Which Caribbean island off the coast of Florida can you swim with pigs?
Jamaica.
According to
Haiti? Dominican? The Dominican?
The correct answer. Oh, if she gets it wrong twice.
No.
Wait, what is it?
The correct answer is the Bahamas.
No!
Which means.
Okay, blast me. Okay, go ahead. Did you shoot it? This is worse.
Why is it not
working? Oh, don't put it in.
Oh my gosh, just do it already.
Oh my god.
That was so nerve-wracking. You're just pointing it.
He's just going to have
to
hit you
for
with the gun.
Yeah, okay, hold on. Oh my gosh.
He's going to load it up himself.
Put the safety on.
Oh god.
That's why. No safety
last.
Here. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, ow, that actually hurt really bad.
Oh no.
I was like, oh, it stings.
It does?
Oh. Imagine, it's a salt gun.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I got the first question.
I'm trying to play it cool for you, Rachel.
One more.
Okay.
Oh,
one more question.
He's so proud of himself.
I mean,
I'm proud of you.
I'm sorry. Okay, I appreciate it.
I'm not sorry.
All right, here we go. We got one final question. What country can you find the famous Blue Lagoon?
Come on, Rachel. Come on.
Oh, God, I don't know. is it Bali?
Correct. No, it's not.
What is it?
Is Bali a country?
Yes.
Yeah, it is, but it's not. It was at Iceland.
What?
Iceland.
Oh, the Blue Lagoon. I was thinking that movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it.
Because that was like the tropical one.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
blue ribbon.
All right, sorry.
I already have like a welt.
Well, pick where you want your other one. Put it on the
What do you want? And what do you want?
I'm sorry. I didn't know where the Blue Lagoon was, but I did know that Brazil was the largest country in South America.
There you go.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Where should I go? No. What do you want?
No, you do it. You do it.
Where do you want it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm nervous.
All right,
Rachel. Farther away? I think it hurts more up close. Where do you want it?
Where do you want it?
I don't know. Right? Do the nip.
Okay.
Can we see on the camera?
Do the dip.
Is that the nip?
Do the nip.
Oh, wait. It's not shooting.
Oh. That's
ready?
Worse.
Okay,
yeah.
Ready? One, two.
Stop
doing it.
Oh, my God.
This is funner.
Okay, did you copy it? No.
Is it ready?
I don't know.
It's like waiting for Christmas.
Ready. I'm only covering my eyes because, you got to.
Okay, yeah, get ready.
Okay. Here we go. Let's
go ahead, Rachel. Go ahead.
Ready?
Yes. Oh, there.
Did it go? The nipple?
It stings. Yes. Oh, no. A little bit above.
Oh.
I think it took some hair off.
We need to do it again.
Oh, my gosh. That was the greatest.
That was, way more fun than watching you do it.
Yeah, it's fun doing it.
Well, you're a good sport, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your lack of knowledge. This was the greatest moment of my entire life.
Now you can let us know how long it takes you to heal.
Yeah.
It honestly is leaving some marks, that's for sure.
Love it.
It actually, and that's how salts are killed. Yeah. I mean, no, sorry, flies are not. Flies are killed
so
by salt. It is such a fun to do it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Did you feel any?
I feel like I need to sign a release or something. I feel like I should sign a release that he's not going to see me.
Now I get what program people do.
Did you hear that?
You get what program people do? I'm a program person.
Now I get it. Now I get it. And this is just from a salt one.
Yeah, but you're not a pro gun person because you want to shoot people.
Oh, no. Well,
not just for like. But I do tell. I mean, I guess people tell me when you go to a gun range, it's fun. You know, like adrenaline.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bobby. We got 2 out of 3, which is that's what we
one
wanted.
One out of three.
Yeah,
no, we wanted 3 out of 3 shots,
right.
But like,
yeah.
Okay.
So that was good.
We count
losing
them all
is
as a win.
Here, yeah.
You know what? It's a win.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But thank you very much for coming.
So
we really had a great time.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Remember to look it up on the website when she's performing.
Oh, you got any gigs? I got some gigs coming too.
Oh yeah, I do. I do have a gig. I have a gig on October. Colorado Springs this weekend, and September 16th and 17th. Los Angeles, October 1st. I'm going to be in Vegas, too, from the October 3rd to 3 to the 9th, and then Escondido, San Diego area, November 11 and 12.
Amazing. So I'm on the road with Jim Jefferies this week. We'll be in Seattle and Portland. So if you love Jim's comedy, I'll be opening for him there. And then I'm at Caroline's in New York, my first time in the state of New York doing headlining under my own name.
Great.
So,
wow.
Yes, thank you.
Congrats.
I'm getting applause in the box. So I'll be in Caroline's, New York, September 30th and October 1st. So please, if you like my comedy or whatever, come and see me in New York. I'd hugely appreciate it because, like I said, it'll be my first time in the state. I've been there with Jim. It's a really weird thing. I've done Madison Square Garden and I've done Carnegie Hall, but I've never done my own thing in New York.
That's
so please come out if you do. Follow me.
Can I throw in a quick shameless plug?
Sure.
This being at the Laugh Factory with Craig Shoemaker this weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Opening for him.
So. Oh, great.
There you go. You can ask him if he's healed.
Tropicana.
Okay. Oh, in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Nice. Well, thank you very much. Remember to subscribe, follow us everywhere in social media, and have a great week.
Yes. Thanks.
Bye,
Rachel.
Thank you.